This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Episode 42, it's the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Landrum Roberts. The rundown is being brought to you by our friends at Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. UAB men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. Been a couple of weeks since we caught up with AK. We'll talk to him about two of the newest additions to the UAB roster. We're going to meet four more during the podcast, but also talk to AK about the House versus NCAA settlement is in. It's been signed off on. How does that affect the Blazers? How does that affect other schools like UAB? And then the entire scope of intercollegiate athletics as a whole. Got exciting news. Got the AAC conference tournament coming to Legacy. We'll talk to him about that and so much more. It's the Inferno Podcast, episode 42, and it comes your way next.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the green and gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube, but also Instagram. You can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB. On Facebook, that's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics, you can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to uabsports.com. We got links, we've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection, with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts along with UAB head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. The Coach's Corner brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. Coach, welcome back. You've got some news. We got a lot of news that we can discuss surrounding not only college athletics, but also your basketball program. Happy summer.
Hey, happy summer. The month of May shot by. Used to be the best month to be a basketball coach. You know why?
Golf.
Because there weren't any games and there weren't any players in town. It was awesome.
How would you spend your Mays?
I would be out of town. I would be just loving life, recharging the battery, so to speak. Because, you know, so the spring term ends, so your players go home for a break prior to summer school starting. Your recruiting is basically done. You're not recruiting for the next cycle yet. That trickles in June. Camps haven't kicked in, so you just get away for a little bit, and everybody has a chance to, again, to recharge the battery. And those days are over now. Based on the portal, we're recruiting through May. Immediately go into trying to assimilate this team, get everybody in school, get everybody here, which we have now, and we're off to the races.
I did hear a particular SEC head football coach that said he would like to do away with that second portal window. I realize it's probably different for college football, but are you in favor of having the portal windows where you have them now? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
No, I personally would like to push the men's basketball portal window back a little bit because it hits, you know, while there's still some things happening. Right after the Final Four, but it hits. Ours, it was 45 days. I think it's gone to 30. which has been advantageous. A lot of times people will see, hey, it looks like the portal window is closed, thinking that recruiting ends. No, that just means the time in which players can enter into the portal. There's still people out there, like over 1,000 kids, still in the portal looking for their next spot. Luckily for us, we have our roster set, but there's still a lot of kids in the portal looking for their next destination.
Well, and the problem is also, Coach, when you're in season, you have guys, and they might not be actively reaching out or having people on their behalf, but where is their mindset at that point?
Yeah, I mean,
thinking about their next
to your original point, it's a nightmare for football because, and it's what we see, you know, all these kids tapping out for bowl games and so forth, even legitimate bowl games, playoff games. That's got to be a nightmare for those guys. But they have two windows. We only have the one. And I think basketball actually has got it as good as we can have it under these current situation.
We do have news concerning the NCAA in the House. It's finally done. Judge Claudia Wilken, she rules. She writes a 76-page opinion. With that ruling, I don't know how much changes for you on a daily basis for schools like UAB and others, but we do finally have some finality there where we can, move on to the next problem.
I think everybody's been planning for this day. Supposedly, it was supposed to get signed in April, then it was May, and now people are starting to panic a little bit, I'm sure, on the administrative side, because July 1 is supposed to be the day in which it kicks in, and now we're here in the second week of June where everything got done last Friday. So it's a new world, you know, it's a new world. Now all payments to players can go through the university, which I think is beneficial for everyone. Also, it'll give some guidelines as to what everybody's doing. I hope that there's transparency across the board. I hope that since it goes through the university that people have to report what they're paying. You know, we know the big boys of the world, they have a cap at $20.5 million for this year for their entire athletic department. Obviously, UAB's is a little less than that. And then it splits off football, basketball, whatever. And I think it ought to be, you know, a FOIA, you know, public knowledge, especially if you're a state institution. I assume private schools can still do what private schools do.
Well, I was going to follow up. Yeah.
But I think if you're going to be a part of the league, for instance, in the American Athletic Conference,
agreement.
You know, Tulsa's private, Rice is private, Tulane's private, Temple's private. Hey, you still – everybody's got to play this thing cards up so we all know, hey, this school is this much invested in athletics as compared to this school. This is what they're paying for their roster as opposed to this school. I think there would be some positive reaction to that.
I'm all about that transparency.
Yeah, I hope that we can get there. And I've heard that the majority of people want that because we all want to have an understanding of – you know, having some semblance of a level playing field.
Yeah. Other news that's happened, Legacy, Birmingham. We're getting the tournament,
that is
Coach.
Excited, isn't it?
What are you going to do with yourself and not having to travel to those different locations?
I just think it's great for the city. You know, it's great for, you know, Legacy Arena is, you know, since the renovation, it's always hosted big-time basketball, even in the old BJCC days. They renovated it, man, and it is an electric atmosphere. We played in there one time against West Virginia in year two, I think, of my regime, and unfortunately we went head up our football team. It may have been the biggest win in UAB football history by beating BYU in the Independence Bowl the same day. It took away.
You wore the gray uniforms that day.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember that we led the game for about 36 minutes and lost. That's all I remember, regardless of uniform color. But I'm looking forward to getting back down there. We're actually, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we're in conversations about having a regular season game down there. We've still got to work out some things which would be beneficial to us. Having the AAC tournament here is huge. It hadn't been in Birmingham in quite some time. And back in the day when Coach Bartow was, you know, running through those tournaments, most all of them were down there.
Sure.
So it's great to have it back in Birmingham. I think it'll be great for our fans. And hopefully if we do what we're supposed to do, we'll give them something to be excited about come conference tournament time.
And typically, and I know you said the fans getting to sleep, I guess, in your own bed, or will you still treat that a little bit like a travel day where you're going and getting hotel and having those kind of meetings?
There's some catchphrases, trust the process. I say process too, but it's an overused word. And then we talk about culture. We got to build culture. It's an overused word.
I'm so glad you call all of this stuff out.
And then sleep in your own beds. That's another one. We got to sleep in our own beds. What's that mean? I mean,
maybe you don't like your own bed.
Yeah, maybe you don't like your own bed.
I need a new mattress, personally. personally.
Right, we got guys in dorms. Like we got guys coming on this show in a minute in dorms. They probably don't want to sleep in their own bed. They'd like to go to a hotel.
Right.
So we'll determine that later.
Good news for Birmingham. That's ultimately good news for Blazer fans and basketball fans just in this area to see some great basketball.
No, it's great. And you know, it's been determined for the next 3 years. I think Birmingham is going to be in play. Obviously, Mark and our administration, you know, pushed, but this is a BJCC thing. You know, they're the ones that are running the tournament. We will be the host, obviously, because of proximity. But this will be run through the AAC, and Legacy Arena will be the one that is structuring it. So there's no more workload for the UAB people, other than we've got to put ourselves in a position so that we're playing meaningful basketball and get the people excited so that we can have a definitive home court advantage. But that's yet to be determined. So it goes for in Birmingham in 26, and then it goes Tampa, and then it's back open to bid. I know that, and I'm in favor of, I don't care, I know our fans don't want to hear this, but I like rewarding teams that have a passionate fan base, i.e. the Memphis Tigers, but I've been told because they're going to keep the men's and the women's tournament together, obviously they don't do that in the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, but at our level, they keep the tournaments together to decrease travel and to try to keep fans from having to be too spread out over too much period of time. But it also extends the tournament a little bit, and as a result, the Tigers sharing the FedEx Forum with the Grizzlies, I don't know if they can get it because it ties that arena up almost too long during NBA season. So I've heard that's been a deterrent for Memphis. And then New Orleans, it would be the same thing, you know, because I'm about trying to find kind of a destination place where, you know, come to New Orleans, blah, blah, blah. Fogelman is not big enough where Tulane plays, Fogelman Arena, and where the Pelicans play, they would have the same issue. So I think – I say all that to say I think Birmingham's going to be in play as we move forward for a long time.
So much great basketball. You mentioned some of the marquee matches. First time I ever saw you play under legendary coach Gene Bartow was there. I think you guys played maybe Wyoming.
No, that wasn't me. But
that wasn't you.
That was the year I was sitting out. Finis Dembo, remember the great player? They had a really good team. My first game in there was against the Sonny Smith-coached Auburn team. And you're talking about pressure. We played on Saturday afternoon, UAB and Auburn. The day that Coach was being inducted, it was like in conjunction with the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. So he was being inducted in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame that night. We played Auburn that afternoon. So you're talking about some pressure to deliver for him. We did.
Yeah, you certainly did. You delivered in most of those games you played in the green and gold. We continue with UAB head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy here on the Inferno. Let's talk about two of the newest additions. We couldn't talk about them last time. I don't even know if you knew exactly if these guys were going to be a part of your roster, but you get some help, and let's start with Ahmad.
Ahmad
coming from Mercer.
We needed more punch in our backcourt. Here's a dynamic kid, man. He started out at junior college. That's the reason he has the fifth year, that junior college year. So he played 2 years of junior college, and he went to New Hampshire.
We're calling that the Diego Pavia rule now.
The Diego Pavia rule. Shout out to Diego Pavia. So then he went to New Hampshire. Then he went to Mercer. He was in the SoCon, the same league that Sanford was in. Dynamic score. He reminds me of a combination of a number of guys that I've coached in the past, little guys that can get to their spot. They can shoot it from the perimeter. He plays strong. He has some athleticism. So we're expecting him to come in and have a chance to make an immediate impact. And then Paul Jobe.
Jobe.
He came from the University of Miami. He's a French kid, believe it or not. And he's not from Bessemer with that name, Jobe. Yeah, that's how you would say it. When I say, is it Jobe? No, Jobe.
Jobe.
D silent. So he comes in as a 6'7 kid that got 6 a game in the ACC. We made him switch a vowel. So now he's in the AAC. I'm not sure he knows the difference, but he will quickly. And he's a guy that has a chance to come in with some experience and bolster us in that front court.
That should be great. Workouts going on right now. Met some of your guys and know that you guys are doing things. What does that look like? What does the schedule look like
for
organized, unorganized? If you don't want to say, that's fine.
No. We're in organization now. We get 8 weeks in the summer. Every Division I team in the country gets 8 weeks that you designate that you can have them for a limited time. There used to be back in my day when I played for Coach Bartow, when the season would end And then I would not have interaction on the court with Coach Bartow till the next October, October 15th, which was the start date for college basketball. So back in those days, that was what allowed like the Birmingham Summer League to be such a thing, because there was no organization. You couldn't work out with your coaches. You played pickup. You got in the gym, and you just found guys that wanted to play. Well, now, you know, you can have them really year-round once you're in school. So we started school. We started our 8 weeks. And it's like kindergarten cops, man. I got 12 new dudes. So I am teaching the drill that leads to the concept that ultimately you're trying to get to. But you got to go right back to stage one. I've had to change the way in which I teach, because we don't have anybody that even knows the drill. They don't know the terminology of the drill. I told them the story on the first day of workouts about biblically the Tower of Babel, where that was where God came in and he was like, hey man, you guys are doing too much, so you're all going to speak different languages. Good luck with that. So right now we're speaking a lot of different languages. That's on the court
comparison.
We're trying to get back to one synergy, but it'll be a work in progress. But that's what summer's for.
It would be unfair to ask, so I'll go ahead and ask, I guess. Early returns and what you've seen. You had a good idea of skill set where these guys play. It's not like this was sight unseen with these kids.
Yeah, but I mean, computer screen, you know, some are, it's speed dating for sure.
What can you learn right now?
Oh, man, this is very, very valuable. I cannot imagine the transfer portal, NIL, and then not being able to touch the guys until like 6 weeks before your first game. I can't imagine, because you really don't know. You have a notion, you recruit to a philosophy, but until you get them together, you know, you really don't know exactly strengths, weaknesses, what's in the best interest of the team schematically. Okay, I've got a base of what I think, and then I'll have to adjust accordingly just based on what I learn over the next 8 weeks.
As far as just the way that you like to work your teams, to train your teams in the off season, level of buy-in so far.
Oh, it's been a 1,000%.
Workload and things that they're going to be asked to do.
We've talked about this. We've got really three goals as we go into the summer. Number one, we want to establish a culture of work. Establish a culture of work. What is your capacity to work? Do you understand what it takes in order to be successful? Number one. Number two, we want to find an identity. You know, we have to form an identity. Find an identity. Who are we? How are we going to play? How do you want someone to describe you once we get to, okay, this is who we are? What's our identity? And then ultimately, I want them to become connected. Connected teams are the most successful teams. You can't be connected until you are more comfortable with one another, and that's what this summer provides.
Well, it was good, though, because at least two of the players that appeared on this podcast last week, I saw them at a store this past weekend with two of their other new teammates. So that at least for those four, it looked like they were getting along and they were doing some shopping.
Did you offer to help them out?
I did not.
I mean, you could have NIL'd it. It's legal now, by the way.
I was going to see if they could help me with my
bill. You
could
write that through the UAB Excellence Fund for men's basketball. It would have been perfectly legal.
Really?
Next time you see them, don't hesitate to do that. I know you didn't want to do it because you thought it was a violation of rules. I'm just clarifying it's not.
So we see these guys out and it's like, hey, I would love to pay for everything in your shopping cart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can do that.
You heard that, UAB fans.
Give them a car if you'd like. House.
Car, house.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Just write the check to the UAB Basketball Excellence Fund.
Just write that down for me. That way I can carry it
tax
around.
Tax deductible is what, as well.
that's always
a bonus.
That's always important. We're going to meet four more players, and the rarity as far as this recruiting class for you, you got two from the high school ranks, but boy, they're good ones. I will start with Salim London, a kid that I got to call games for when he's playing at Hoover back-to-back-to-back state championships.
Man, that's crazy,
is that right?
Yeah. I think they were undefeated this year, right? I don't think they lost a game this
year.
I want to say the kid in his high school time lost like three or four games, man. Winner, great kid, great family. You know, his dad played at University of Alabama for Coach Sanderson. Tremendous kid. Got a chance to be a really, really good player. He's like everybody. I say this all the time to high school kids coming in. It's like you can be the best kid in middle school and now you're going to high school. So you're walking into a complete new environment and guys are in that hallway that are 3-4 years older than you, and they know where the cafeteria is and they know Miss Johnson, how she likes you to say the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't do that anymore. But back in my day, Miss Johnson would make you say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Opinion,
and so it'll be a little bit of a transition to him, but I've been really impressed, man. He's got a really good capacity for work through his father, through Coach Ware at Hoover High School. He's been conditioned right. So now it's just a matter of garnering that much-needed experience. And again, a winner. He comes in with a winning mentality. And then the other freshman we took is from Dallas, Texas, Kimball High School. They also won the state championship in Texas, which is a big deal. Everything's bigger in Texas, they say. A kid named Lance Carr, who's a terrific athlete, young, like literally just turned 18.
Just hit a growth spurt, didn't he? Late in his high school years. Oh, I saw him.
Done some investigative reporting.
I have. He was listed at 6'4". Next report I see, he's at 6'7".
Yeah, he is. He's about 6'6"-ish, 6'7". He's got hair. I mean, if we could do the hair, he's got the.
We count hair.
Ben Wallace. He's coming. Oh, he got a hair. He's a 7-footer. You'll see. Good luck with these headphones. You got an extender?
Yeah.
a terrific athlete, man. Moves, graceful. He's got a huge upside. So we're really, really excited about both those young kids.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful, and I'll say this because some coaches might get offended. I think you appreciate the spirit in which I'm saying this. But for a kid, let's just take Salim London, a ESPN 100. He's in that top. You would think there's a lot of programs that are certainly interested, but for him to choose UAB, and there's a lot of reasons for him to choose to come and play for you and for the Blazers. So.
What do you go ahead, get to it?
No, I'm just saying maybe with the nature of the transfer portal and NIL, that helps situations like this.
There's no question. Here's what's going to change.
I've been dreading that for 2 days.
Here's what's going to change. With the House settlement, now we're like everybody. There's roster limits. That was one of the reasons that it took the judge as long as it did to sign off. Because they didn't want to have to cut people. Like, football's been at 85 scholarships, but you can carry 1,000, right? There's 1,000 of them out there. Well, now, then they put the limit at, like, I don't want to say this because I don't know, 105, 110, whatever it is. But you can't even have walk-ons above that number, which the football teams always had more than that number for practice, for whatever, development. And as a result, some of those kids were being told, you no longer have a spot here. And I think that's what the judge was having a problem with, cutting kids initially. Right. So basketball has been, when I played, it was a 15 scholarship sport, but it's been reduced to 13 many, many years ago. Now we can go back to 15. So the big boys are carrying 15 on scholarship. I'm actually at 12 and stopping at 12, and that's just a business decision. You know, it's just splitting the pie. It's all about dollars and cents. And so I'm actually stopping at 12, which is a huge risk, but, you know, it is what it is for UAB at this phase of the game. So we'll be at 12, but these extra scholarships, they may be able to grab, you know, extra inventory, be able to pay more, entice kids to come there, even though their role won't be such. The reality is, everybody, you watch the NBA Finals, do you? I do. They play, Oak City last night played 8 guys, double-figure minutes. They played a 9th guy, just a little less. Same with Indiana. Everybody's playing 8, 9 guys. Due to fouls, due to injuries, you might get to 10. College basketball is the same way. So, you know, I want all 12 of my guys to be in the mix. Hopefully we won't have any injuries, which cut into those numbers. And carrying 15, I'm not as dumb as I look. I'd rather have 3 guys mad at me than 6.
Yeah, for sure. The guys that we're going to be meeting today, you talked about 2 of them in Lance and Salim. But the other 2, kind of give us a Andy Kennedy Cliff Notes on the 2 individuals.
Yeah, I think it's Caron McPherson.
Yeah,
who started off. He literally grew up a street over from Alejandro Vasquez. Like, literally, they grew up together. He goes to Nebraska.
That's Jamaica, right? Queens, New York.
Yep.
Okay.
He ends up having an injury at Nebraska. Got derailed early. Never kind of got his feet under him. Literally,
go big red, Molly.
That's right. He was at Nebraska, and it just didn't work out. He tore his ACL initially. Fred Hordberg, dear friend, good guy, man, helped him develop some skills, and he still gives Fred credit for that. Then he transferred and was at Northern Illinois, where he was a double-figure scorer. He got 12-5. Plays a lot like AJ. Gritty, gutty, score, shot 39% from the 3, and comes with some experience. And he's got 2 years because of the injuries. So he's coming in here hungry, edgy, with some maturity that we're really looking forward to. And then the other kid that is here today is
Dejon.
Oh yeah, Dejon Anderson, junior college first team All American from Triton. Ohio kid, Dayton, Ohio kid, really good shooter. Second most threes made in college basketball in the NJCAA last year at about 40%. He's a shooter first, but he's got a little wiggle. He can bounce it and get to his spot. He's more athletic than you think. A cool customer. You'll see. You'll see. He's cooler than cool. He's ice cold. You'll see. He's just kind of a laid-back dude and a guy that we brought here to really be productive for us in the shot-making category.
Chill is what the kids say, right? Maybe they used to say that.
Ice cold. What was it? Oh, yeah.
Ice cold.
Yeah. What was it? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Outcast.
That's it.
Thanks,
ice cold. That's what it was.
Yeah. And if they have a lot of bling and they got ice, then they have drip.
All right.
Do you know that? I learned that last week.
Oh, yeah. I've known that.
I actually use your context. Yeah.
About 7 years ago, I learned that.
Yeah.
Thanks, though. Keep working at it.
Yeah. Are you going to stick around and... You got something else to do?
Do I have to? I don't want to put pressure on them. Like when I'm in the room, sometimes, like people would think this is strange, but a lot of times, once we get into the season, we'll have a bunch of meetings. You know, we meet to talk about meeting.
Yeah.
You know, with players, especially when you're on the road. And a lot of times, once we get done what we need to get done, I won't go to the meeting because I feel like when I'm in there, the energy of the room changes. All coaches here, we gotta, you know,
mind our P's and Q's.
So I know I'm not gonna sit over here and put peer pressure on them. You'll do that for me.
I will. I got you.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Extra set of eyes. AK, thank you. We continue the Inferno podcast. Welcome back into the Inferno podcast. It's time for our Student Athlete of the Week segment, and we have two of the newest additions to Andy Kennedy's roster for the 2025-2026 season. Hard to believe that we're even there, but Lance Carr, first of all, you're the newcomer from outside of the Birmingham area. Coach was just talking about you come from a winning program there in the state of Texas. We'll say Dallas, but 6'7". I was telling him, I said, I think that he grew. He had a growth spurt. Did you get a growth spurt late? Because I saw one of your profiles, it was 6'4", and then it became 6'7".
Decently. I've grown kind of the same over the years, but these past 2 years, I've grown a lot. So I feel like, and I hope that I've had a growth spurt.
And the other freshman coming in, Birmingham, if you just follow basketball, you just follow the high school ranks throughout the state, a very successful program, back-to-back-to-back state titles, I think, in Salim London, who I've enjoyed getting to watch you play. How are you?
I'm doing really good, really energized, feel good.
Really?
Yeah.
Back-to-back-to-back, right? Was I right on that?
Yes, sir.
Roughly, what, 17 and a half points?
Somewhere around
average
that number, yes,
per game.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you guys this. So you have a lot of guys that have already played at the college level in some capacity, whether it be, you want to call it a Power Four, another school, at least at the JUCO ranks. What is it like for you to be the, I guess, the only underclassman coming from the high school ranks? Has that been a transition? These guys kind of taking you under their wing. I know it's early in the process.
I would say these guys have taken us under our wing. Like, you know, Q, y'all are about to get in with him. I feel like he's really taking me under his wing, and he's kind of giving me tips just from, you know, his past experience and things like that.
You both come from championship pedigree programs, and Coach Kennedy said getting guys from winning programs, and that can mean so much. Describe why UAB and when they first kind of got on your radar, Lance, from there in the state of Texas, because I know you were highly sought after, but what do you attracted you to the South Side and playing for AK and for the green and gold?
First, it's decently close to where I'm originally from. I'm originally from Atlanta, but the difference was when I picked up my offer from them in the summer, they kind of just bought in. I talked to every coach on staff. I saw them at every game. Like, they were just sending people to show that they actually wanted me. They were just doing things different than the other colleges that wanted me. And I just kind of, I loved it. And then when I told them on my official, if they showed me everything I wanted to see, I'm committed. On the way back to the airport, I committed in the car. So
only the things that you want to give us. But during, if you don't mind sharing, what are those, some of the things that you wanted to see during those visits?
Really the area, because I'm a people person. So I never meet a stranger, so it's not a lot that would keep me away from the people. I just wanted to see the area, make sure they have my major, like just the path that I want to take professionally and not just for basketball. And on top of that, they have a winning pedigree, so it just made it even better.
Yeah, for sure. What about for you, Salim? Because you certainly had your options. You're an ESPN top 100 player. You're rated that way, highly thought of. and for good reason, coming out of the high school ranks. Why UAB? Why Andy Kennedy?
AK was he really recruited me consistently, like the whole course. Like with certain colleges that were recruiting me, like later down the line, they kind of were iffy, and AK kind of stayed in. And it wasn't just the assistant coaches; it was also like AK. Like AK would show up; he was there. And you know, I would talk to like my parents about it, and they would say like, "Go with who you feel most comfortable with." And AK was the coach that I felt most comfortable with.
What is it about his personality? Because I know him as AK; I can see it from afar, but on the recruiting trail and now being involved in some of the workouts that you guys are doing here in the off season, just describe it. If I said, hey, I'm thinking about UAB, Salim, what is Andy Kennedy like? How would you describe that?
AK he's a real cool person. He really like genuinely makes me laugh. Like I genuinely laugh.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah. And he's real. Like he's going to say it how it is. Like always. But yeah.
What about for you, Lance?
Somewhat the same. Like he's really outgoing. Like he's actually gonna show, like he shows every individual attention. Like he makes sure everyone feels the same about him, and he shows his, like he just shows how he feels about you.
Is it fair to say he keeps it really real?
Yes, yeah, very yes. much.
And you want that, and your personalities that yes. fits. What yes. would you tell a high school player, or what would or you would tell a recruiting staffer from another school, not UAB, on mistakes not to make that you see some of these schools, not necessarily in your personal instance, but in others, and just going, man, you're not fooling anybody. Quit doing that.
I would tell them like with AK, you know how sometimes you might have a conversation with somebody and it doesn't feel like it's genuine. It might feel like scripted. Well, AK is right. like, it just feel like you're talking to a regular person, like anybody. Like, to be honest.
Like, it's just a difference. Like what he said, basically, like, AK is just talking. It's like you're having a regular conversation. It's not like, oh, I got a call with a college coach. Like, it's like, oh, I have a call with Coach AK, but it's like you're talking to, like, a regular person. It's never just a script, like what he said. Like,
you've set goals for yourself. So, Salim, we'll start with you. First season, how do you envision yourself in the program? You can go from playing time to where do you picture yourself by season's end?
I want to hopefully be in the rotation consistently. I would like to, you know, maybe have a chance to start, but that's a really hard thing to do as a freshman. But like, I'm not going to back down from any challenge. I'm going to take it day right. by day, you know, because it's a marathon. But by the end of the season, I want to at least be, like, in the rotation consistently.
What about for you, Lance?
Kind of the same thing. Like, have a set spot in the rotation and being able to play my role the best that I can. And also just being able to play when it matters and not just play. Because I want to be able to finish games and do certain stuff like that. I'm kind of, as a freshman going into college, knowing it's just not the type of scene to where freshmen just are going to come and play. So kind of just being able to play my role to the best of my ability and playing when it matters.
I'm going to ask you guys this. For me right now, and I'll just say golf, right now my putting is the best part of my game because I'm off in some of the other aspects. If I ask you, Lance, what's the strength of your game right now? What would it be?
My motor and athleticism, my ability to find the ball even when it's not given to me.
What about for you, Salim?
I would say my IQ, like finding guys when they're open, making the right play.
That's good. So for you, you'd like the opportunity to start if that's there, but just seeing yourself in the rotation, the same for you, but just kind of finding your way and doing that. Any apprehensions or any expectations or maybe, I don't want to say fears because that sounds soft. It's not the case, but anything that preconceived notions that you had prior to arriving to campus that were quickly dispelled or in your eyes, yeah, that's about what I expected.
Just like the physicality, like, you know.
Wow, this is different?
Yeah, it's a lot different playing with people who are older than you, more faster than you. Just coming down from high school, being a bigger guard, being stronger than the opponent usually all the time. But, I mean, yeah, that's really the main thing.
Yes, the physicality for sure. It was like a wake-up call, basically. because in high school, I was always the most athletic, the one of the fastest. It was always people bigger than me guarding me, but I could hold my own. And just basically the people who are older, being just more physical, I got to get used to it.
All right. Now it's some rapid fire questions and just a way for us to figure out more about you. We call this the lightning round. First of all, have you seen anything else in Birmingham since you've been here besides the campus and just the immediacy around campus to those things?
Not really.
Vulcan. You know what Vulcan is, right? Like Satchioma.
Okay. We walked up, I think it was 2 days ago we went up there.
All right. Topgolf. You've been to Topgolf. I know they have that. That's kind of where it started out there in the Dallas area, right? You play golf, Salim?
No, I don't.
You play golf?
I suck.
That's fine. All right. If I tell you we're going to go away from basketball, for me right now, it would be, hey, let's go play 9 holes. Maybe 18 if I'm feeling like it. What would it be for you?
Are you saying it's such like going or?
Or just, yeah, going and doing anything in your leisure time.
I'm really spontaneous and adventurous. So
you like escape rooms?
Yes, I love them.
Escape rooms.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of fell in love with escape rooms too. When it's too cold to do outside, me and my wife would like to be active, but we go and we do escape rooms. It's fun.
Yeah, I like escape rooms too, to be honest. Yeah.
So no golf for you?
Nah. Let's go get on the game. Let's play like Call of Duty or something like that.
No, you're shaking your head. Go ahead. This is how we find more about each other. You said no on Call of Duty. What are you going through?
I play straight sports games. So like NCAA, Madden, 2K, all of that. Or like car games, like Forza. Like first-person shooter games really aren't mine. Those really aren't mine. Forte.
Back when I was in college, Bond. It was the original 007. That was what was really big on the console. It's still probably pretty big.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
you don't?
No, I don't know what that is.
Doesn't matter. Okay, this is about you guys. We'll start and we'll just alternate. Salim, we're going to start with you. If you could choose any job to be replaced by robots, what job would you make obsolete and why?
Wait, okay, like any job, and I'm saying like the robots are going to work the job?
Yeah, so you don't have to do it.
Oh, okay, I can't lie. I've never like worked a job before. So I'ma say this for like my friends. Okay. My friends are always they work at they seem like they don't like to be lifeguards. They hate being lifeguards. So I'ma say like I have some who work as lifeguards. They work at a car wash. They work at food places like Taco Mama. And
tell me off the air where they're like, a lifeguard too, because I don't want to go swimming there.
Like the YMCA. They like they will work how they describe working at the car wash. They love it. But lifeguarding, they hate it. So I would say like robots can be lifeguards if they, you know.
Car wash seems like it would be fun, but middle of summer looks like it would not be a whole lot of fun. You standing out there and you shammying off a car in 120 degree heat index.
They talk about it like they probably don't even do nothing for real if they think it's so
around fun. The house for me, it's trimming hedges. If I could get a robot to do that, I'm good. I love yard work. I hate hedges. Don't ask me why. Job replaced by a robot, what would it be?
I've only worked internships. I haven't worked jobs. So from my knowledge, I would say if this counts as a job, doing homework or being a tutor, doing homework. But other than that,
don't they have programs for that now? What's that? The Chat GPT?
That doesn't count.
don't even pretend you guys didn't. You like, we didn't have anything like that when I was in school. You guys have all the technology. You could actually take a phone into the classroom. We didn't have any of that. Yeah. We had a guy you met outside behind the corner, and you paid. No, I'm just kidding. No, that really didn't happen. Next one. If you had to be haunted by a ghost for the rest of your life, but you could choose the dead person who that ghost was going to be, who would it be and why?
Trying to think of like a shy person, so it'll be like a shy ghost. Or actually, I'll say my little brother. Like me and my little brother real cool. I feel like he wouldn't like, you know, do anything bad to me. I think we just be cool. Like when I'm sleeping, he might pop up in my room one time and I'm like, what up? He'll say what up, and then I'll, you know, go about my sleep, he'll go about his night.
Okay, so little brother.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say my sister, because my sister's like my best friend. So And we're 2 years apart. So we really just, like, we act the same. We talk the same, like, everything.
See, me and my sister, we were 18 months apart, and she was older. But there's no way that I would want her to be, no thank you. She'd be doing all kinds of crazy stuff. For me, I was going to go more famous person, like Chris Farley. I don't know if you guys remember Chris Farley, but he was taken way before he tragically died. But he was a hilarious comedian. He got to start SNL, and then he was in movies like Tommy Boy and other things. That's, again, I'm dating myself. This goes back to 007 and Bond on the console. We'll move on. If humans lost the ability to see all color except one, which color would you want?
Like orange or like yellow, something vibrant. I don't want a dull color, like black or like dark blue or something like that.
So you want to go vibrant, something bright?
Yeah, something
see that.
Yeah, I was going to say like a warm color. I was going to say like red. I need something that if it gets dark, I can still see shadows. Something more warm. Because if you have a color like blue and it gets dark, you're not going to be able to really see shadows. Or like purple. So I have to say like red or orange, something more warm.
By the way, are you guys pumped about uniform scheme, color scheme of UAB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like green.
Dragon logo is great.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I talked about it with some of your teammates. That's the undefeated mascot. If you ever had just mascot wars.
Yeah.
Nobody's taking out the dragon.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Game of Thrones. Even if it turns bad and you had. Did you guys ever watch the Game of Thrones?
I watched some of it. Some of it.
Okay. Well, it happens later on. I don't want to spoil it for you. What's your favorite all-time basketball moment?
Of my career?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say two?
Sure.
My first time dunking on somebody when I was 15, because that was what started it all. I started dunking late. I started dunking when I was 14. So, but probably the game I knew I had the UAB offer sealed, because I had 28-10, and I think it was like 5 or 6 steals. And I dunked on 3 people at the same time and yelled in Coach AK face. That's what I remember. Or I think it was either Coach Shoemate or AK. It was either or.
That's awesome. So he's sitting there, he's watching.
So like say the baseline is right here.
Yeah.
I catch the ball on the wing and I spin towards the baseline and I take one dribble and I throw it out and I rise up and I dunk it with 2 hands. And it was either Shoemate or Coach AK. And I look dead in their eyes, and I scream, I yell, and I'm back on defense.
I got a little bit pumped up. That's gonna be a hard one to top, Salim. What about for you?
Yeah. Does it have to be like a something that I did on the court, or just like something that might have happened with my friends, maybe like in a hotel or something like that?
That's fine.
All right. So we were in Illinois. This is my junior year at Hoover, and we ended up winning the tournament. And we had to be up early the next day. So we just decided to do an all-nighter. And we played spades all night. It was 4 of us. And it was probably the funniest moments ever. Like, we were laughing at everything. Like, we were laughing at nothing. Like, we
so like you were delirious. That's when things get funnier.
Yeah, like, we were just like, we would like throw the card. Like, my friend Caleb, He played shooting guard. He was on our team. And he would like throw the card. He would say like, huzzah. And then we just all like start dying laughing over none. But like when I say it now, it's like not funny at all. But like then it was funny.
Do you guys have trouble going to sleep at night? Are you night owls?
Sometimes.
I'm a night owl and an early bird. So I'll stay up late no matter what time I go to sleep. I can go to sleep at 5 a.m. I'll wake up, and he can vouch. I'll wake up at like 6:50, 7 o'clock.
Are you ready to go, or do you need the aid of coffee? Do you either one of you guys drink coffee?
Sometimes, but I'll wake up with a lot of energy.
And you seem like you're really chill and laid back, but you've got a lot of energy. You got a lot of spunk.
I mean, I like to like troll and play around like with my teammates, like with my friends, but like I like to chill. Like I don't really like raising my voice or doing a whole bunch of stuff like that. Like I don't like yelling or none of that unless I'm on the court.
You guys have musical backgrounds at all? Like to sing, play an instrument, anything?
Nah, not really.
What is one song when you hear it, you got to sing along to it?
Freak by Doja Cat.
Okay.
I'll say there's a lot of songs like that. So I'll give you an album. the whole top album by NBA YoungBoy. If you play any one of those songs, I'm singing it from the first breath before the first word to the whole ending. I'll hum the whole ending.
What's a musician or artist that you don't listen to their entire catalog, but maybe it's a song that you would not want anybody to know that you knew and you actually like to sing along to?
Doja Cat.
That's mine would be like a Celine Dion song.
I mean, I don't know if this is something that like people just wouldn't like, I wouldn't want people to know, but like I'm big on old school music, so like probably like a lot of Bobby Brown music.
Bobby Brown. See, now you're talking more my day. Talented musician. Stuff away from, yeah.
Either him or Jodeci for sure.
Who?
Jodeci.
Okay. I'm going to pretend like I know. When did you know that you wanted to play at a high level?
Probably like...
Have both of you just always been really, really good at basketball? Or were either one of you late bloomers? You were a late bloomer. You say no. What about... Are you finished your thought, Celine?
I'd probably say like my eighth grade year at AAU. That's when I was like, okay. Like I started getting a whole bunch of confidence, like started to feel like that dude every time I stepped on the court. So yeah, I say around 8th grade.
Truly, I started taking basketball serious when I was 14. So I'll say, because I was always athletic, but I never had confidence, like until probably I was like, really, I'll say 17. Like, I was always I would always have decent games and all that, but I would always just be in the background. So I'll say like 17 summer. Well, nah, I made the effort all the way through, but I knew it was an actual dream once I got my first offer. So that was like 17 summer.
You got to eat one meal for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Shrimp Alfredo.
That's solid.
Not grilled salmon.
Baked salmon. So both of you go seafood.
Yeah, I really like seafood.
Yes, I love seafood.
This is a food town, by the way. We got a lot of good places that you can eat. The Frame. Has AK told you got to put on muscle, you got to put on weight? What's that look like?
He has said that. I kind of like the weight room, so I'm just going to push myself every time I get in the weight room.
That's a really good answer.
I mean, I love working. I like getting better. So I'm really bought in. So whatever we do, I'm ready for it. But adding on weight, I'm really, like, in my mind, I'm really positive because I want to see what I look like. So I'm real, yeah.
We got our numbers yet?
I'm number 5.
Number 5.
Number 6.
Solid. Why number 6?
So, like, all my socials, it's the real 5, and he already has 5, and in high school, I wore 15. So, I just put 1 + 5.
That makes sense to me. And you already had 5.
Yeah, I already have 5.
You played it first.
My dad played at Alabama. He wore 5.
Tell everybody who your dad.
My dad's Tariq London.
Yeah.
Wore 5, kind of passed it down onto me. At first, I didn't like 5. I used to like 0 better. But as I got older, like around 7th grade, I was like, I kind of like the number 5, and I've just been rocking it ever since.
Finally, do you guys both have nicknames or no?
People call me Lean.
Lean.
But not, I mean, I guess you call it a nickname, but I mean, most people call me
Lean. Your name. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, most people just call me Lance, but it depends on who you ask.
Let's just say I ask that person, what would they say?
If you ask anybody that I played with on Kimball in Dallas, they put Lil, L-U-H, in front of everybody's name. So they'll probably say Lil Lance. Or like some people will call me 5. And then I don't even want to say my nickname for family.
You got to do it now.
But like my whole mom's side of the family calls me Lancey Poo or Poo, either or. Because that's what my sister called me when I was a little baby.
My name's Landrum and I have a cousin. And for some reason, just when we were kids, she called me Lanny Poo. I know.
We're on the same page.
Yeah. Celine London, Lance Carr. proud that you guys are part of the Green and Gold, and can't wait to see you as not only the summer progresses as we get into the season and what you look like in the uniform and competing out there for the Blazers. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having us.
Thank you.
You're going to meet two more additions to Andy Kennedy's roster as the Inferno podcast continues. Welcome back into the Inferno podcast. We continue to meet some of the newest additions, all new additions. If you're following the 3 weeks of the Inferno, the 12 new signees for Andy Kennedy in the 2025-2026 UAB basketball Blazers. And we heard Coach Kennedy talking about both of you when he joined us earlier in the show. Q McPherson, welcome to UAB. Welcome to Birmingham. I guess you've been here for a minute now, right?
A couple days.
We'll go through your background and your bio, and then we have Dejon Anderson. Welcome to Birmingham.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
I'll ask both of you. You can go in order, Q. You can start. But why UAB?
I say UAB because Andy Kennedy, he trusted me. And him and Cross, they had a plan for me. And they feel like they can help my game. And I'm trusting them to give me the opportunity to do what I do and help the team win.
What about for you, Dejon?
I would kind of say, like, the same far as, like, AK believing in me. And then also, like, just from an early standpoint of, like, my JUCO practices and stuff, like, the coaches coming out to watch me and stuff, and just, like, just building that trust early. And then also, like, the background that they have with JUCO players. So, you know, it was a great spot to land and build from that.
There's several bright spots and several success stories with working with those. What has been your impression so far of AK? You knew AK. You knew the staff a little bit before you got here, but now that you're officially here in this capacity, what has it been like for you guys?
Everything they said it was going to be. It's no lies. Everything, they straight shooters for me. Everything that they said they was going to do, they did, and they held their part, and now it's my turn to do my part.
I would say it's work for sure. It's coming, you know, especially from JUCO back to D1, but the work standpoint, like, you got to really put your effort into all this.
You said what they told you, everything. What was that kind of laid out for you? You don't have to get into too specific, but
I'd say them letting me just play my game, I would say.
What is your game?
I couldn't tell you. I do a little bit of everything. So it's whatever the day is, depending on how
you
the
game is. You say you're a Swiss Army knife?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. I get to the rim and shoot pull-ups, shoot threes. You handle the ball, rebound, pass, just whatever the game needs for that moment, I could do. So they just let me kind of have my game and be free. So,
Dejon?
I would definitely say, like, my ability being able to, like, shoot so good, and then, like, plus coming down here, you know, I feel like I've had a slow start as far as, like, knocking down shots and stuff, but, like, the coaches, the whole staff, even the players, just, I keep shooting, like, keep it up, like, I feel like everyone knows, like, that I can do that. So, like, just don't let myself down or miss any type of shots or anything. So
different backgrounds with where you guys started. Q, we'll start with you. Is that South Jamaica, Queens, New York?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm thinking correctly, well, first of all, AJ Vasquez, know AJ from his time and playing and saw where he's playing a little professional ball right now. Yeah. Looked at his stats. He had a limited schedule that he had played. But you originally start at University of Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
2 seasons there in Lincoln, and then most recently at Northern Illinois. Yeah. What has that ride been like for you?
Just got to stay the course. You're going to have bad days, you're going to have good days, but for me, I look at it like I can't stop doing what I'm doing because I got a son. My son's 3 years old, so I have a mouth
What's
to
his
feed.
Name?
His name is Caleb.
Caleb.
So I have a mouth to feed. So even when I don't want to do it, you got to do it because you got something bigger than you. You're not just playing basketball for yourself no more. And this is what I do, and this is what I love to do, and this is how I can take care of him. So just every day, just be yourself. And even when it's bad, when you feel like, I don't want to do it, go do it, because that's when you're getting better.
And you know that, being a dad, right?
Yeah.
I bet you're a great dad.
Great one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I try my best. For me, I'm not as there, as present as I would like to be because I'm always with school and basketball.
Right.
But for me, I play my part. I do as much as I can.
Can you already tell on the little Fisher-Price goal?
Yeah, he can already shoot it already.
He can?
Yeah. For me, it might be in the family. My dad can shoot. I can shoot. It might pass down to him, hopefully.
Triton College.
So first it was first I was at Wright State, actually, and then down to Bradshaw, and then good down to Triton. But the whole experience at Triton, the whole, like, JUCO experience in general, it's, like, it's real. Like, in my words, I would say it's real treacherous. So basically, like,
is it humbling?
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, you got to really go and get it. Like, that JUCO, like, nothing is just given to you. Like, a lot of people think, like, oh, yeah, I could just go JUCO and then I'm D1. Or I can go JUCO and I'm about to get a full ride scholarship somewhere. Nah, you got to go there and it's really, everything is on you. Like, if you going to put the work in, like, it's on you. No, the coaches ain't none of that. It's you, what you going to go down there and do. So going JUCO, for me, it was just, like, to really, like, lock in and, like, put your keys down and get ready to do what you need to do so you can make it back D1 and then proceed from D1 and be successful.
And some of your teammates that have come from the JUCO level, they describe that experience a lot like you. Not that they're not appreciative, yeah, but they're really appreciative now in coming into a program like UAB, whereas they said you might be able to throw a rock in the arena some nights and not be able to hit anybody.
Yeah, it definitely is a learning experience. But I do appreciate JUCO.
What do you appreciate now about your past experiences, ups and downs? What can you appreciate now and kind of take forward with you, Q?
I would say what I appreciate the most is just my family and my support cast. Because, like I said, for me, like, my thing was kind of like, we know how good of a player he is, but, he always keep getting hurt. So it's like, oh, damn, he got hurt again. Oh, he got hurt again. And then it's like, all right, once you finally get to play, what you going to do with the opportunity? And it's like, just it's a blessing to be able to play and not be hurt and things like that and being healthy.
Amen.
So that's
is that always in the back of your mind though?
No, I honestly don't think about it when I play. Like I if you people are like, yo, how you still play basketball? Like, you had two ACLs, bro. This is what I do. I don't know nothing else. This is what I do. I play basketball. So, and where I'm from is like, that's the culture. We all play basketball. So, and they look at me like I'm the one that got to make it out for everybody. So that's my goal, to just continue to keep that going and show younger kids where I'm from, like, yo, you could do it. Like, for me, you're going to face adversity in life. That's part of living life. It's not going to go your way. It's all on how you respond to that adversity. Are you a resilient person? Like, are you going to be able to, coach on my behind, whatever it might be, outside situations, are you going to stick with it? Are you going to let that seep in your mind and, I don't feel like doing this? No, you got to do what you got to do if that's what you said you want to do.
I don't know if it's as a motivational speaker or as a coach, but you got something in your future after you have to hang up the shoes. Great answer. Dejon, what about you?
I would say far, like, nothing, like, not taking nothing for granted, like, far as, like, but the coaches and everything, like, coaches just, they're on me about, like, doing all the right things. So, like, that's what I appreciate the most. Like no coach is just, like, just gave me nothing. Like, everything has been earned. So it's not like, you get down here, yeah, you do whatever you want. You're going to start, you're going to do this. Nah, you come down here, you show me you're going to put the work in and you're going to, like, show me what you tell me you're going to do. And then you do that. And then now things are starting to roll. Now you start getting the keys. And now, like, you know, you just get more trust, build that trust and keep gaining that.
Is it a little bit refreshing that you come in and you know that there's 10 other individuals on this roster that are coming in new as well, and you don't have some of those guys to kind of show you the ropes or say, hey, he's talking about that? Because AK was talking about the drills and mm-hmm. having to teach the concept and to teach the drill to implement. Is that more peace of mind for you guys coming in, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I say
six,
like,
or half dozen.
It don't really matter to me, because at the end of the day, basketball is basketball. He got his ways that he coached and his own concepts, and we got to learn them. So at every place you go, when I was at Nebraska, he had his own concepts. When I was at Northern Illinois, he had his concepts. So whether it was people that was here to help us understand what AK's talking about, either way, you got to open your ears and be mindful and attentive to what he's saying and lock in. So either way, I'm kind of good with it. It didn't really matter for me.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, like, everyone knows it's a business. You got to buy into what's getting put out. So you got to take in what AK's saying and you go from there.
Not that I would expect you to say anything different, but how impressed have you been with some of your teammates? You guys playing against mm-hmm. each other now and then integrating with the other 10 individuals, some of which we've already met.
I say we solid. We got a good team. And we got everybody got their own roles. And, like, we kind of seen from, like, the couple of days of us playing pickup, like, who can do what. Like, for example, me and Diddy, we've been on the same team. What's done? You see how he just said, like, he's been missing shots, right? Day-day, keep shooting the ball. I don't care if you miss. I live and die with you shooting it. You could go 0 for 10, shoot it again. Sooner or later, it's going to go in, right?
So you both shot 40% from three-point land.
Yeah.
Last season, right?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
It's 40%. Yeah. So what have you been able to learn? I love that's a great answer right there. But
I would say like as a team, like we getting there. I would say because like you know no one actually like knows each other. Mm-hmm. Like we haven't grew up playing with each other, none of that. Like it's a new team. But I say like from the practices and the 5-on-5s, like us getting up and down, like just as a team, like, I can see like we gonna be good.
You said every coach has their own concepts. Mm-hmm. You guys have mm-hmm. had multiple coaches in your background. If I said, hey, I'm interested in UAB, guys, just kind of level with me. What's AK's concept? What are some things that...
From what I've seen, he's going to motivate you.
Yeah.
He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to treat you like a professional. That's what I played basketball for. When I went to Nebraska, that's how I was treated. And that's when basketball was kind of the easiest for me. When you treat me as such, like, yo, you going to hold me accountable. I'm not worried about you yelling at me and stuff like that. That's part of the game. You're going to get yelled at. You're going to have tough conversations with your coach behind closed doors. But it's all on like, yo, I'm trusting you. So I'm going to be on you. I'm going to hold you accountable when you BS and I'm going to let you know. So that's how it is for me.
Yeah, man, he pretty much said like the same. That's what I would say. And then like far as like if anybody was to ask, I would just say like AK wants his players to be like about the business, like about, you know, he want us all to buy into what we got to do so we can win. And then, like, at that, like, with us being, like, because he tell us all the time, like, with us being small and stuff, like, it's the little things that we need to do. And it's, like, are we going to do that? Like, the effort, like, when you tired, when you go down, like, what you gonna do to continue, like, to come back? Or what you going to do to keep the lead and win the game and stuff like that? So just as a whole team buying into what he's telling us to do.
So from what I've been able to gather so far, and I've watched highlights of you guys from past stops, but it sounds like in a good way you got some dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
sure. I feel like if you don't got no dogs on your team, you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
That is very, very well put.
Yeah, you need a couple of them at least. You gotta have some dogs. Can't all be poodles.
Who would the enforcer be on the team?
I couldn't tell you because we all got our own voice. Like some like for me, I'm probably the most talkative as of right now because of like my background, and I know that like talking it helps. It makes everything easier.
Communication.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Diddy will talk if Diddy has to talk to me. I don't got no problem. Everybody kind of has their own way and like putting an impact on the game or their input. So I couldn't tell you who is the enforcer as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same. You know, me and him been on the same team, just like him being a leader, like with us being on the same team, him being older and all that, just like him leading and stuff, like I would say like he's up there. And then you got guys on the other squad when we not on the same team, just everybody can lead. But I feel like everyone has like you said, their own like personality and stuff. Like I'm quiet and stuff, but like if it get to that point, I'm going to get the chirp and then, you know, the buckets get the going. Then, yeah, like once I get in tune with it, yeah, then it'll get going and all that.
What can you appreciate just this being the first time and playing the American Athletic Conference, but you've got the likes of UAB and Memphis and some of the other member institutions that make up the league. Mm-hmm. It's a strong league, but what are your kind of your preconceived notions about what to expect once we get into league play next season?
It's basketball. They tie their shoes just how we tie our shoes. We could play Duke, play Kentucky, it don't matter. They human, we human. They bleed just how we bleed. So go out there and play basketball. It don't matter who we play. For me personally, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I would say same, man. Go out there and get it. You know, we all here for the same thing, but it's who wanted more. So go out there and get it.
Have you been to Vulcan?
Say it again.
Vulcan, the guy that is up on the top of the mountain, the statue. You hadn't been to Vulcan yet.
No. Nah, not yet, not yet.
Uh-uh. No, don't feel bad. Nah, yeah. Lived here almost all my life, and I went 2 years ago. But no, you'll see Vulcan. He's got the, I don't know what they call it, I guess the spear or whatever, and mm-hmm. he's holding up the torch. He's looking down on us. Or it just depends on which side of the mountain you're on.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess you're looking up at him and mm-hmm. the backside of him. Anyway, sure. You'll see Vulcan eventually. Okay. Let's get into some of the rapid-fire questions. Here we go for Q McPherson and also for, is it Day-Day? I like that.
Yep.
Where'd you get that name?
Go with that. I got it like from my childhood. It's just like my name, Dejan. Like a lot of the time, my name get like messed up, and a lot of people call me like Daywan, Dewan. So I just like, nah, I just say Day-Day. And then like, as I got the hooping, and then like getting a name for myself, And they started to be like, all right, D.A. Plus my grandfather, he hooped at Kentucky, went to USC, ended up, you know, going to the league. And then, like, yeah, his name, Dwight Anderson. So from there, like, they was like, yeah, like, we want you to take something from him and, like, just, you know, carry on with that. So then I just went with D.A. And then it's just been like a whole thing since high school. So
is there a particular player, past, present, that you model your game after?
For me? I don't want to say model my game after them, because I try to take bits and pieces of players, but I'd probably say a little bit of, I like Ant-Man, just his mentality, his aggression, shot selection. I kind of shoot a lot of threes, a lot of pull-ups, get to the rim still, but that's how I say it. Probably don't dunk as much as him, but the other thing, that's what I do.
Beta?
I couldn't really tell you because, like, I don't want to be biased and say, like, Curry because I can shoot, and I don't want it that. My favorite player, LeBron, I don't want to say LeBron, he's 6'8", you know? Like, I ain't that, but I really say, like Tatum. I like Tatum. His game, he's smooth. Even though he's bigger, but, like, his game is smooth. Like, he get to his spots. And Brunson, for sure, Brunson. Brunson's a dog, like, and being undersized, like, 6'2", you know, go get a bucket, like, by like see what the pros do, what the pros do, like buy into that, see what I could do. So I try to watch like some tough guys.
Q, favorite basketball moment personally for you when playing?
My favorite.
What's that memory you can think back and go, yeah.
Favorite basketball moment. I had a lot of them. No, I got one. I was at prep school, Woodstock Academy. My dad, he actually came to my game. I had a game winner. But it was kind of crazy because I was so far away. And he had just come up here and there. And we was actually playing against, I think it was against AZ Compass or DME, which had Keegan Murray and somebody else. Both of the twins, they was on the same team. I had a game winner against them. And that, honestly, I don't think we were supposed to win that game.
Set it up. Was it a pull up in the lane? Was that outside of half court?
No, it was like my teammate got it. He was going. He tried to dribble and lost it, and I picked the ball off the floor and just took one dribble and shot the three, and it went in. Wow. And I pointed to my pops in the stands like, that was a dope moment.
That's a cool moment.
Yeah, that was a moment right there.
Shoot. I don't know. Is that my best moment? I don't really know. Because it's a lot of things that I do, like, even in high school and stuff. I had a lot of half-court threes. I had a lot of buzzers and stuff. Like, but, I mean, I would really say, like, the most one that I think, like, just got going was, like, JUCO. Actually, one of my teammates, you know, here, but I was going against Indian Hills at home. I ended up in the crossover. I made somebody fall. I looked at him, and then I shot it, and just, like, I was just tuned in. Like, look at the crowd. It was going. So, I was, like, I was too locked in. So, and I got the dub, too. So, that was...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you're going to be haunted by a ghost for the rest of your life, but you got to pick who the ghost was, who would that, let's just say famous dead person be, that you'd say, you know what? I wouldn't mind if they haunted me for the rest of my life.
Kobe.
Yeah. That's good.
Nah, that's a good one. I would say my grandpa, though, just, you know, if he was to haunt me, just knowing, like, he there, he watching me and stuff, just knowing that, keeping me on track, keeping me on my toes. So
I know you're a dad, but Daddy, I'll start with you. Away from the basketball court, what's your go-to? How do you unwind?
Outside of basketball, what I'm doing, I say playing the game, for real. I'm a gamer, so outside of basketball, just play.
What's your game?
I play 2K a lot, but I be on Warzone too. I be locked in on the Warzone, got the headset, all that. I got to give me a monitor, though. I'm tired of playing on the big TV. Everybody keep telling me I got to stop doing that, so.
To get the monitor.
Yeah, I'm going to give me a monitor.
For me, being a dad and probably as much as time as I can, and most of the time I work out. I don't spend too much time going out. Like, it's... That's like on an occasion, like, but most of the time I probably worked out 3 times that day and I still went out. So, like, I just work out a lot.
You're a pretty good cook?
Not really.
What are you making for your son?
For him?
Yeah.
We're going out to eat.
Yeah.
We're going out to eat. I'm cooking breakfast, though. We can do breakfast.
What are we doing for breakfast?
Breakfast, give him a little waffle, sausage, egg, action. Feel me?
Yeah.
Let him watch his ABCs and stuff in the morning. Keep his mind right.
Cook?
Nah, I'm not a cook. I've always like got meals cooked for me, but I definitely want to get into cooking now that I'm like by myself and stuff now, like away from home. Mom can't cook for me, none of that. So
what's the best thing your mom made?
Man, my mom's I like my mom's spaghetti for sure, but I love my mom. She make what my mom be cooking. She get to cooking. I like her fried chicken for sure.
Hard to go wrong with fried chicken.
Her fried chicken
or spaghetti. And spaghetti for me, it always seems like it's better the second day.
Than the first day.
You like the first day.
I need it fresh too. Like as soon as it's done, I need that.
Favorite meal? Couldn't tell you. I eat a lot of food. From my grandparents.
Is there food you don't like?
I don't like. No, there's a thing that I don't like cheese. I'm not really a cheese lover. So yeah. But it's crazy though. I eat mac and cheese, but I won't eat Velveeta. I only eat Big Mac and cheese.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of weird.
That's understandable.
Like, I don't like gooey mac and cheese. I'm not really a cheese on the burger type of guy.
Just don't like it.
Just not.
Is it
my
a texture thing? Is it a taste thing?
I don't know.
An intolerance?
I'm a little lactose, so that might be a situation. But it's like I just never got into it. Like, I don't like cake like that.
No, I don't like cake. I don't like sweets.
Yeah,
and I didn't choose not to like sweets. Just since I was a kid, I've never liked sweets. But dairy has always been my go-to, and cheese. Absolutely has been my go-to.
I don't like cheese.
I can't do it as much at my age now. You gotta watch it. Cheese will stick around with you.
Yeah.
So you said that as far as food just depends.
It depends on who's cooking. Most of the times I'm going to eat it. Because my grandmother, they from the South. So she could cook. So I don't got no complaints with nothing she makes. And then my mom, she cooks, she put her foot in everything, so I don't got no complaints about nothing. I couldn't give you my favorite meal. I'm gonna be completely honest.
What about favorite movie?
Favorite movie, Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Dude, that's from back in my day.
I'd definitely say Friday, Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Boys in the Hood too.
Yeah.
He Got Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's a movie that you appreciate but you really don't want to tell anybody?
That I appreciate.
Like something soft.
I don't got one.
You don't have one?
I couldn't say one.
Day-to-day acting like you don't have
one. I'll probably say like The Blind Side.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah. Everybody needs a Tui family in their life.
Yeah. For me, he went through a lot.
Just take care of
him. Yeah.
Yeah, he did go through a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. How is that relationship now? Because I saw where there was some off-the-field stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody's okay. Tui family and Michael Orr. Let's go just a few more. One song that you have to sing along to when you hear it.
One song. I gotta go on my phone and go look it up. Let me see what
Data.
I got. Mine's just like, you saying like it don't matter. It could be before a game, anything. Yeah. I would say probably Crazy Story by King Von. That lyric for lyric, word for word, I need it. As soon as it turn on, turn the volume up.
Hustler's Ambition, 50 Cent.
That's cool, yeah.
50 Cent?
Yeah.
He's from
where I'm from. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj is too. Yeah, it's a lot.
Who else is from?
From Lamar Odom.
Mm-hmm.
From across the bridge, like from where I'm from. Him and my dad, they grew up together. He went to the same high school I went
to. Golly, you can really hear that New York accent coming out when he talks, right? Yeah. And when we had AJ on, I said always envision New York and being there in Queens and playing pickup basketball. And then you've got like chain link, and then you just got stupid skill and just going at it all the time. He said there's always a game.
It's always a game. And it's funny, Alejandro's older than me. He went to the same middle school I went to, you know, like elementary school.
Yeah.
So like I known him. We always just play against each other, play with each other. So then it's crazy. Jordan Jelly, he was my senior when I was a freshman in high school. At St. Pat's.
It's all at the Patrick sense School. Now.
Yeah.
So they all validated, of course, the UAB program. Continue just a few more moments. I don't want to ask you, Day-Day, you go first. Your personal expectations for this next season and the expectations for the team as a whole.
My personal expectation is just staying coachable. And like I said, buying into whatever the coaches, staff, and whatever I need to do to help the team win, that's what I want to do. Of course, I'm going to want to shoot, but whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do it.
You said keep shooting.
No, definitely. Got to keep shooting. But as a team, I just want us all to, like, just outside of the basketball stuff, I want us all to bond and connect. So then on the court, our chemistry is there because, you know, I noticed that a lot outside of, like, basketball and stuff and whatnot. Like, even my teammates and stuff, even, like, outside, we get to, like, just kicking it with each other, just chilling, all that. On the court, it start, like, we just be more, like, tuned in with each other. So I would say that.
That's good.
Just so we can keep it up.
Q?
Personal expectations. Just be the best version in yourself, like Coach AK said. And be where your feet are. If I'm on the court, be there. Be present.
Grow where you're planted.
Say it again.
Grow where you're planted.
Say it again.
Wherever you are, grow mm-hmm. wherever you're planted. No matter the situation, where you are, be the best.
Yeah, best version of yourself. You. For me, always be receptive to coaching, and just do your thing. Don't the outside distractions. Don't let those seep into your mind. People gonna always talk. That's I feel like if you don't got people talking bad about you and hating on you, that means you ain't doing something right. So. I'd like the haters. I appreciate all of them.
Fact.
So,
any UAB fans watching this, a lot of reasons to be excited about the newest edition of the Blazers. Can't wait to watch you guys play and continued success. And welcome to Birmingham, guys. And so proud that you're now a part of the UAB family.
Yes, sir.
Q, Dede, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Inferno Podcast continues. Inferno Podcast continues. You know, when I think back to my childhood and I think about some of those fun moments, some of those fun memories, a lot of them happened during the summertime. You think vacation and being out of school, that's great. But also you think about camp, summer camp. And I'm not talking, and those are great, just about your typical summer camp where you think about canoeing, kayaking, archery, crafts, skits, all of that good stuff. But how about a specific sport and to be trained by some of the best in the business? Check out UABSports.com and across the summer months, whether it's Johnny or Susie and they're interested in a particular sport or they just want to learn more about it, they can do so with a host of different sports across the UAB campus. You can find out more, as always, comprehensive list of the camps, information about those camps, but also up-to-date news, scheduling, and all you need to know, green and gold athletics, there at UABSports.com. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.